You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Hello, hello, friends. I am back. I mean, it wasn't really a hiatus, let's be real. I just missed one episode, but I am back. I'll explain my little breather, but my brief for myself today is that I am going to take today's ep as if you were sitting on my couch and I've made us cacaos or I've made us a tea, if you're not a cacao gal, and we're sitting and we're having a little catch up, but it's a one-sided catch up because I'm basically just going to talk about me. But the intention is just to share what's going on in my life in all fronts, what's going on in my life with work, what's going on in my life in motherhood, what's going on in my life in health and friendship and relationship and money. I'm like, I haven't done one of these before and it might be nice. Well, firstly, for me to talk it all out. Secondly, to give you guys a little bit of insight into just, I guess it's one of those, if we were to draw a parallel with a social media equivalent, it would be one of those like day in the life snippets, but it's more conversation around what my life looks like at the moment. And the reason that I thought it might be nice to share all of those moving parts is it will probably give context as to why it got to this weekend and then Monday, and I just could not bring myself to record a What's the Vibe. And I usually do them on a Friday. And if I miss out on a Friday because of a full work schedule, then I'll do them on a Monday because I like to keep my weekends free. And this weekend was an interesting one. So let's start there. So I am on day, what day would it be? Day six of my bleed. And my bleed is my way of saying my period, P.S. I know we all have different phrases and words and code names, but yeah, I'm on day six. And this one for me personally has been a really intense one. And a little bit of context for me personally, my experience of my cycle has been, I've been really blessed with a pretty solid cycle, pretty standard 29-day cycle, sometimes 30 days. I do have excess estrogen. This is a fun fact, actually. And a naturopath told me once that because I am a bigger busted woman, so this is for those of you who also have larger breasts, we naturally produce more estrogen. So we can, by virtue, is that the right phrase? Probably not. But that basically means that it lends ourselves to excess estrogen production, and obviously that would impact your bleed as well. And so for me, I've always had a little bit of a heavier cycle, and I'll bleed for a little longer, usually about 5 or 6 days. But other than that, I'm blessed with a solid cycle. I don't get cramping. I don't get back pain. I will sometimes get tender breasts, which is an excess estrogen dominance piece, and a little bit of a headache just before the bleed drops. But other than that, I'm pretty stock standard for the most part. So when I have a bleed like the one I'm experiencing at the moment, I know that something in my hormones or something in my body or something in my energy or something in my stress levels is out of kilter. And for those of you listening to this who don't have a deep relationship with your cycle, I encourage you to get curious for a number of reasons. I mean, one of the biggest ones is your bleed is, it's like your report card. Where did I hear this from? It must be my friend Nikki Gonda, who runs the Instagram page My Moonbox. Phenomenal resource for all things periods, PS. Like brilliant wisdom there, masterclasses and insights into how to take back responsibility and ownership of your bleed. And something that she left with me years ago that stuck with me is that, yeah, your bleed is your report card for the previous month. So if you move through your bleed relatively unscathed, or if there are indications that are somewhat abnormal to you, it usually points to your health and well-being for the month ahead, month previous. Now, guys, I'm not a practitioner. You know this. I'm just talking about my own personal experience. So I do not have endometriosis. I do not have PCOS. I do not have any of those things. I cannot speak to those things. I will not speak to those things. I will just speak to my experience. And so my experience has been I've had relatively, standard bleeds until this weekend. I was floored. I bled. It's day six and I'm still bleeding heavily. And I have had clots. This is so TMI, but I'm just going there. And I've had to take Nurofen, which I just don't need to do usually, but because I've been just absolutely floored with migraines, and I rarely get migraines, but these have been ones where I haven't been able to be in light and I've had to lie in darkness, and I'm not asking for advice. I have to put that disclaimer here, and it sucks that I have to do this every time, but I will speak to that separately because my DMs have been blowing up recently with unsolicited advice and I just don't want to receive it. And I don't think it's you guys who listen to this because you know that I'm not open to it. So anyway, I'm really not asking for advice. What I'm saying is that has been my experience over the last weekend and few days on the other side of the weekend, and it floored me. And it does point to the previous month, which has been a lot more work than usual. And also I did a cleanse on my gut health for the ovulation period, my ovulation window. And so that's obviously bringing a lot up as well. At the same time, it was our full moon last weekend, so I have synced with the full moon. And on top of that, it was my little girl's 18-month, being here, 18-month milestone. And in the lead up to her 18 months, honestly, I didn't think it would be that big a deal, other than her 6 months was such an exhale for me and Trenny. It was a really solid milestone for us. And I had assumed that, okay, yeah, after 12 months, the next milestone is 18 months. And it wasn't that I was going to make a big deal out of it, other than Trenny and me and my little girl going and getting a croissant somewhere because croissants are her favorite. But I woke up, it was on Monday, and we went out to our local baker. We are literally in, like, I said it to my mum when she stayed here a few months ago. I'm like, hey, mum, we live in the country, hey? And she's like, yeah, holly, you do. We live in the sticks. And so, like, our local baker, it's one of those country bakeries. Like, I just need to paint the picture for you guys. It's in this random, almost like, it's not middle of nowhere, but very random kind of isolated shopping mall that has like 10 shops max. And we're like, okay, we'll just go into town and get her a croissant. And we're waiting in line for this croissant. And I started crying. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? And we sat down on the chair for her to eat her croissant and I was bawling. I had to put my sunglasses on inside. Trent's like, you all right? And I'm like, yeah, I feel all right, but there is a lot of emotion here. And we got home and I was still crying. We put her down for her nap, which I usually also do. And I really wanted to nap because I was feeling really depleted from my bleed. And I couldn't sleep because I was just crying, laying beside her, a mess, just bawling. And I haven't had an emotional release like that in a very long time. And it was an interesting one because that was my reality pretty much every single day last year, was hours of crying like that and hours of release. And, you know, we reached the year milestone with her and got to this year, and things have been great, to be honest. Things have been phenomenal. I've shared openly that this has been a season of parenting and motherhood and this toddler season that I have thrived in, and she has thrived in, and we as a family unit have thrived in and loved. So there hasn't been any real touch wood trigger or causal reason for me to have regular or even irregular emotional release like that. And so it was a really interesting one because, yeah, the entire day on Monday, I was just a blubbering mess. And what I realized was, and I did receive this insight from some some mum friends in my life, they're like, Holly, these milestones really do act as portals into what wants to be looked at to be healed. And even something like an 18-month milestone, while outside looking in, it's like, well, she's not 2 years old yet. It's just it's a midway point. But teamed with that moon and my bleed, oh my goodness, there was stuff that wanted to be coming up to be let go of. And for me, a lot of it was, I spent majority of my time in therapy last year processing the grief and trauma and this chronic PTSD associated with the breastfeeding experience I had and partially the birth, not fully the birth. We didn't really look at that completely. But what was coming up over the last couple of days for me to process was the unfairness of being a pregnant woman through the pandemic and the lockdowns and everything that came with that, that I'm not going to get into today because it's not that kind of an episode. But what I've noticed and what I realize is I am feeling a lot of, I don't know if it's trauma. It doesn't feel like trauma more so than just trigger. When I'm seeing incredibly beautiful pregnant women enjoying this season in their life, without lockdowns and without needing to leave their doula at the hospital door to go in and birth and without, you know, missing out on all of the things that we missed out on for our pregnancy the first time around. I mean, my brother and my closest friends did not see me pregnant at all because they're all in Sydney. And we had just moved up. We'd only been up here 3 months before we conceived. So we were still establishing a community up here. So it was all of those pieces that I really didn't get the opportunity to process because we were thrown into the deep end with parenting and the breastfeeding piece. And so that's what this 18-month portal actually activated for me. I honestly thought it would be a really light day and it was the opposite. And I shared about it on my social media and I received some beautiful messages from mothers thanking me for speaking so freely to this. And I got to say that a lot of me didn't want to, and a lot of me guilted myself for feeling this emotion. And this is what we do, right? We can bypass what we are feeling and our emotional response to something through this reverse comparison piece where it's, well, I have it better. And I actually have people in my life at the moment who are going through awful experiences when it comes to trying to conceive, the passing of their children, like really, really deep, dark, heavy experiences. And so what happens when I feel an emotion like this, where I can't exactly place it, but it's heavy emotion and it's grief and it's mourning for an experience I desired that I didn't have, I wrong myself for it and I guilt myself for it. And I think we all do this. And it might not be, you know, parenting or motherhood that's your thing, but it could be something else. And it's the thing of talking ourselves out of having an emotional response to something because X person has it worse than me. And I actually had this chat with my beautiful friend Shani. And if you haven't listened to the episode with her in season one, please do carve out some time. Trigger warning, it is an experience about her losing her little boy, Jai. The passing, I will say. She didn't lose him, but he passed away. And I was having this chat with her when I was in Sydney the other weekend, and I did say to her, look, Sean, can you explain to me when there is someone like me talking about the grief I have with my breastfeeding experience or the emotional response I'm experiencing, but I do have a healthy little girl. Can you explain to me what that does in your experience? Because I can't help but feel guilt around even putting voice to this because it feels like it's just incomparable. And she said to me, and this is the reason that I shared this on Monday, because of Shani in my ear saying, Holly, don't you dare limit your emotions and your feelings because of something that I went through. They're different. It's apples and oranges. She's like, I am not for one second sitting here going, Holly does not deserve to feel that way because I had it worse. She's like, she said, how many people actually think like that? She's like, we tell ourselves people think like that, but they actually don't. She's like, I love you. I care about you. I want to hear how you are. And I want to hear the truth about how you are. And I don't want you to sugarcoat it just because I had what you would determine as a far worse experience emotionally and otherwise. And it was a really illuminating conversation to have. And I also don't think we are having these conversations because they're very uncomfortable conversations to have, right? But I had her in my ear when this emotion came up on Monday, and I shared it in my stories, and Sean was one of the first people to reply and said, thank you for sharing with honesty what you're moving through. And I think there's something to be said about that. I know for me, part of my processing when I am moving through something that is charged emotionally is to write. It just channels through. I have to get it out and then to share. It's part of my makeup. It's why I'm here. But I have to also like be transparent. It is uncomfortable when I share. Because I'm sharing for me, yes, to be heard. That is actually a part of my healing and my processing. I'm also sharing for the me last year that didn't receive much of that externally, because I know a lot of people are sitting back and not saying what they're truly feeling because they're guilting themselves out of feeling it. And so then we're missing a whole piece of healing that could happen. And thirdly, I was actually sharing to move myself into spaces of discomfort, which never go away. It doesn't matter, you know, how many followers you have on social media or how successful, inverted commas, your business is doing. The discomfort is there in showing up. And I am constantly in the game of pushing myself to my edge, especially when it's to share with vulnerability, humanity. And our human and why, and just what it is to be human, you know? So that was a really, it was just a really interesting weekend. And so that is why I didn't jump on and tune in and say, you know, guys, this is what's the vibe this week. Because firstly, I wouldn't have done any of us any justice, because my channel, my ability to read the energy was completely off, completely clouded. And that is, it's a piece around integrity that feels really important to me, especially when I show up with these episodes, because I never just want to, and I never will do this. Like it's just code of ethics when it comes to energy work for me, especially as a psychic reader. And it's just something to think about if you're an energy practitioner as well. If there is anything moving through your life that has the potential to cloud your judgment, or for your judgment to be off, then it's an indication that you need to take a breather, not to push through and just, you know, pull a card and talk smack because you need to show up. And I hope that that's what I talk smack, lol. I hope that's what I continue to give permission for each of us to do in our own way. If it's to take the day off work because you need a mental health day, if it's to push the launch back because you need more time, if it's to not release the podcast episode, even though you have said you will release them every Tuesday because your channel's not clearing, you can't tune in, it's okay. The world didn't fall apart. No, like no one was hurt by it. I maybe disappointed some people, but guess what I didn't do? I didn't disappoint myself, and I didn't disappoint my little girl and my family who needed me to be well. So deep breath out. That has been the last few days for me. I am still on my bleed, yes, but I am feeling much more energized, much more in my body, much better because I took the space for me. I also have my beautiful husband, Trenny, to thank for being able to pick up the slack and actually being basically primary caregiver for our little girl for the last, well, definitely over the weekend. It was in bed. Actually, I'll tell you what I'm reading at the moment. I'm so behind the times with this, but I'm reading the Bronze Horseman trilogy by Paulina Simons. This trilogy, I'm one of those people that when it comes to when everyone reads a certain book series, I go against it. So I haven't read Twilight, for instance. I did read Harry Potter, but that was like before it was cool. That was while it was coming out. I do this weird thing when the OC was cool, didn't watch it. Like there's something rebellious about me. It must be my Aquarius North Node actually, or I'm like, everyone's on that. Nope, not interested. And I have had my friend Jess, she's one of my best friends, in my ear for literally years, probably the entire time we've known each other, probably like 10, 15 years now, saying, Holly, read the Bronze Horseman trilogy. You're going to love it. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Anyway, my new friend that lives around the corner dropped them on my doorstep because she's like, we cannot continue this friendship if you haven't watched, read this series. So that's what I've been doing while I've been down and out in bed and resting. And guys, it's hardcore. Have we read it? Oh my gosh. It's the epic love story of Tatiana and Alexander, and I am halfway through the first book. They're hefty books, I got to say, and I've got to catch myself from time to time because it's set in World War II. And I literally have to catch myself from time to time thinking that I just have to check. Yeah. Thinking that I have I'm like, we're living off rations. Like, oh my God. I do this thing with books. I was like this as well when I was traveling Europe with Leah and I was reading The Hunger Games. Actually, there's a series that I did jump on when it was the cool thing to do. And we were in Turkey. And when we were traveling Turkey, I was reading The Hunger Games trilogy. And when we were traveling across Turkey, I'm going to butcher what it's called, but there would be the prayer bell that would go off every hour or so. And it was the indication for prayer. Anytime it went off, because I was reading The Hunger Games, I thought that there was an uprising. I just get so invested in what I'm reading. So at the moment, I feel like I'm living off rations and my sister is in love with Trent. No, I don't feel that. But anyway, that is what I've been doing with my time. We're having a tea on my couch. What else do I want to share with you? I guess where I'm at the moment, and this could be what's the vibe for me personally, but maybe it's what you've been feeling energetically at the moment too. Gemini season has been really jarring for me this time around. And I know in my episode about Gemini, I was like, I love Gemini and I do, but I am feeling more anxious than I felt in a very long time. And I actually, anxious feels a bit too charged. I don't feel anxiety. I feel stressy. I feel overwhelmed. I feel rushed in a way that is unnecessary. I feel that I'm placing urgency on things that are not urgent. And it's actually impacting my sleep. So I'm lying awake. It's taking me much longer to fall asleep. It's like this ripple effect, right? There's been a culmination in my life right now, and I'm getting all the indications that something's off. I'm taking longer to fall asleep at night. My cycle this time around has been incredibly heavy and there's been migraines associated with it. I've been referred for some blood tests just to check what my levels are doing and just intuitively just dropping into what my body is telling me. It feels like it's in a greater level of stress than it has been in a long time. And this is the interesting thing about stress. A lot of the time we can't catch it until we're right in it. And I think that's where I'm at right now. And this is what Gemini season is actually bringing to the forefront is like, where am I unnecessarily stressed? Unstressessary, if you will. Genius. I'm feeling unstressessary. And the thing is, stress is anything when your body's in a stress response. I think a lot of the time we assume that it is a negative experience in terms of, you know, there's panic associated with it. There's heavy emotional charge associated with stress. There's a lot of challenge that we're facing. And so stress levels are heightened. In my life at this point, things are freaking great. Things are amazing. In fact, things are really good. And it's the stress that's been sneakily catching up with the fact that I have lots of balls in the air at the moment and something has to give, something has to drop. And so that's where I've caught myself in this unstressessary response, which is like, Holly, you are placing urgency on things that are actually not urgent. So I'll talk to you about all of the other moving parts. So work, business, it's doing really well. And last year, it was the exact opposite of that. And what a nice reminder of swings and roundabouts. What a nice reminder of the polarity of experiences. You know, last year, I went hard to try and sell a single spot to many of my new offerings. And the lesson in that was to break up with the over-identification that I had with being a business owner, making money, selling out launches, etc. It was a humbling experience. And I came out of last year going, yeah, okay, I'm going to create for the sake of creation. And I know that work at some point will pick back up again. And I'm in that point. Psychic studies was the most incredible. Oh my gosh, it was just the most incredible group of women. There were about 27 of us. We journeyed for 10 weeks together. We did about 22 calls. And I've just come off the back of that. And while it was so rewarding and also financially really, really good for my family, it also holding 27 different energies and heightening their psychic ability in those containers. I'll put it up in the Facebook group. When I went and had my bodywork session with Asha after I closed the container, because I knew my energy centers would need recalibration, her lights were flickering before I even arrived because the energy that I had called into my space was so intense for that 10-week period. That's not going to take 4 weeks of not working for me to switch off. And it hasn't been 4 weeks of me not working. I've still shown up for the podcast twice a week. I've still had my readings every Friday. I've still been doing, you know, interviews for other people's podcasts. I've still exerted energy. And so what I'm realizing, even as I'm speaking this out with you guys, so thanks for being my sounding board, is that my energy output at work has needed to be higher to support my family. And also it has come at a cost to my energetic well-being, and not in the way necessarily that I am depleted and run down, more that my stress response in my body is heightened and I'm having trouble to fall asleep at night. And these sorts of things hormonally feel a little off kilter. So what I've decided with that side of my business is, as much as I would love to, because I genuinely did love running the calls live for psychic studies, I'm going to package it up. I've got 22 incredible calls. I'm going to package it up. People can purchase it at any time. It's all there. Feels like a very smart move when it comes to being a projector in business, and particularly a stay-at-home mum projector in business, which is work smarter, not harder. Don't add to your workload. Remove from your workload. So one of the things I'm doing is, yeah, focus on evergreen packaged product that I've already created that I know is incredible, that will be there for anyone who wants to purchase it and learn at their own time. The other thing is, I am showing up still for my readings, which has been amazing. That's every Friday. And the most exciting thing is, I have just hired a brand and sponsorship manager for the podcast and for the Holly as a Party brand on social media. So there are some big moves happening, like big expansive moves. I just hired Kirsty, hey gal, last week, and she's coming on for a 3-month contract, and her sole focus is to generate income to allow me to step back from other areas, other work areas in my life. I also run Coherence, the monthly cacao ceremony, which is expanding into 2 ceremonies a month, embodiment practices, lots of guest facilitators. So there has been a lot of rapid growth, is what I'm trying to say, in a very short period of time. And it's a lot of, we don't share this, right? This is just what's happening behind the scenes. Like, you guys will see, you'll hear from me twice a week, and you'll see me on social media, but everything behind the scenes is, there's lots of balls in the air, because for me, I do need to show up for my family. And I spoke about this in a podcast interview yesterday, where we're at a point where Trent is going out on his own when it comes to his electrical business, and eventually his photography as well. He's got to build his confidence up there. P.S. If you're looking for a film photographer on the Northern Rivers, hit us up, because he is phenomenal, and he's also a projector, and he cannot see his genius. And so I'm just going to pimp him out right now. But because he is starting from the ground up, there's no breadwinner in our family right now. It's 50-50 split. And this is absolutely fine, but also it's not, my business isn't a luxury or a nice to have. It needs to make money, and it needs to make the equivalent of what my husband is bringing in right now. So the financial pressure that I know so many of us are experiencing at the moment, especially those of us with a mortgage, interest rates, rent going higher, all of these things, cost of living. I mean, I know we're all feeling it in a lot of ways. That has definitely been filtering into, okay, how can I generate an income that supports me and my family, that also doesn't take away from me and my family and doesn't add unnecessary stress and burden to myself. And this is where bringing Kirst on to monetize what I'm already doing makes the most logical and commercial sense. Do we see how that's connected? The thing with that, though, is I have to invest in Kirst to make the money. So it's one of those things where you have to spend it to make it. And it's a business decision that I've sat on for a little while now, because the podcast, being completely transparent, cost me $209 a week to produce. If I totally understand, by the way, there'll be people going, but you could just like edit the sound yourself. You could just host it yourself. couldn't think of anything worse. I am queen of outsourcing, always have been, always will be. I love to outsource. It's how I run my business successfully as a projector, as a stay-at-home mum. I'm very much about, I do my zone of genius thing. I outsource to everyone else. That means that I need to fund the outsourcing. So that means I am funding, yes, the podcast. And now I'm funding Kirsty to come on to monetize the podcast, which sounds a little bit backwards. And it is. It's kind of the metaphor of the arrow being pulled back to fire forward. So that's what's happening in my business at the moment. I am taking a risk with this, absolutely, but it is a calculated and considered risk. And I know for any great growth or leap in business, there are things that need to be done differently. We need to try things. And I'm a 3-5 in human design. For those of you who understand that will know, I need to experiment myself and see what works and what doesn't work for me personally. And what does work for me time and time again is outsourcing and putting other people in their zone of genius and letting them do their thing and trusting that they've got it. I do not have the time or the interest, to be honest, to figure out how to produce a podcast. Couldn't care less. Same goes with Canva. I do not care about creating pretty tiles. Not my thing. Could be your thing. Great. Good for you. But I'm going to pay someone to do it for me. And that means I need to make the money to spend it to then make more money. It's like this cycle. So that's where my head's been with business at the moment, right? And I think as we're talking about cost of living, something that's been interesting is my offerings, particularly psychic readings, I'm a luxury spend. I'm not something that people can comfortably just throw money at. I know that. I'm fully understanding of that. And I also know we're at a time where people do not have the capacity for luxury spend, myself included. I've had to scale right back on investing in self-care practices that I actually really do need to show up in the capacity energetically that I need to do my job. Like, it's not just a nice thing for me to have body work with Ash every 6 weeks. To show up and hold space energetically the way that I do in my job, I should actually be having it monthly. And so I am also in the position where I'm needing to evaluate what people are actually financially and energetically able to invest in a period of time and a period of life that perhaps isn't the way it was 3 years ago. And so that's looked like, me adding value to the Coherence membership. I think the reason I'm talking about this, by the way, because I'm like, why am I explaining this to you? But I think I do have a lot of you that run businesses in your own way, navigating this time at the moment as well. So I just figure I'll speak into what I'm doing. So I'm adding value and I'm creating more cost, lower cost price points for people to have touch points with me. Like the Psychic Studies Evergreen is going to be priced really reasonably because it's there. So I might as well get as many people's hands on it as possible because I know this work is impactful and that matters. And I'd rather have, 200 people in there than 20 people in there based on the price difference. You know what I mean? It's just the way that we need to think right now. And then it makes sense to monetize. My little girl's playing outside. It makes sense to monetize what I'm already creating. So watch this space. We'll see how we go. Hopefully in a few weeks' time, you'll hear me go, this episode was brought to you by brand here. I got to write my list of like top brands and I'm just so excited about what's coming. I just feel really good things, you know? And that also, that sense of anticipation and excitement lends itself to the nervous energy that feels like overwhelm and anxiety, when in fact, what I'm feeling is just lots of moving parts. I'm on top of all the moving parts. Today, I had a full-blown stay-at-home mum day before recording this ep. I took my little girl out for our weekly catch-up with her bestie, Asha. Hey, Cass. And, I had a big nap with her today. And so I'm reminding myself there's nothing urgent. It's just the feelings around me that are tricking me to think that there's urgency. And it's good to be in that state of observation to go, Holly, it's actually OG. It's all good. And slow down. And this is where I've seen things have dropped for me. I haven't done a daily rest practice in probably 2 weeks, and I was doing them every day. If I was back where I was in Taurus season 2 weeks ago, I would have sat a daily rest practice before I sat to record this because I was in a really good rhythm with that, but I've thrown that out the window. So, Operation Life Force, I'm going to bring that back in. Yeah, it's the self-care that tends to give for me. And that is my, definitely a big piece of it is my Chiron in Cancer. So for those of you unfamiliar with your Chiron placement in your natal chart, Chiron is your wounding. It's the wounded healer. It's the part of your chart that's pointing to the lessons that you will continually learn in your lifetime. And for me, part of my Chiron in Cancer is about self-mothering and learning to nurture myself, self-nurturance. And it's the first thing to go every time for me. I'd rather nurture everyone else than myself, which is so ironic because I teach about nurturing one like ourselves. And it's, you know, you teach the thing you're most here to learn. And for me, it is self-nurturance. So I have caught myself in, it was last night, I was lying in bed for like an hour and a half, unable to sleep, because obviously I know my body enough and I know stress enough to go, okay, my cortisol is peaking right now, Holly. You need to wind down. You need to look after yourself. And so, yeah, back to Operation Life Force, back to doing the things that I was doing 6 weeks ago to really tend to myself. They're the first things to go and they can't be. So, yeah, that's also been something that has been an interesting one to observe. But also, in terms of nurturance, I've realized that I have a hobby, guys. I have a hobby. If someone asked me like a month ago, what are your hobbies? I'd be like, oh, I love to sing and dance, but I don't really like go to classes at the moment and, you know, nothing else really. I need a hobby. And then I made ramen on the weekend just for fun. And it was really delicious, by the way, guys, honestly. Oh, mwah. Trent was like, this is up there with one of the best things you've made. Actually, do you know a good follow on Insta? I'll pop her on Facebook as well. Is Jessica. Oh, what's her last name? My phone's on flight mode. I think it's Jessica Nguyen. And she posts the most delicious meals. She didn't post the ramen recipe, but she's posted a really good chicken and corn soup. Oh, my God. And I realized after I made the ramen, I was like, oh, my gosh, my hobby is cooking. I have loved cooking since I was a little girl. And then I didn't for many, many years. It was like I talked myself out of it. I don't know why. And since becoming a mother, I've really, and also living in a rural area where we cannot get delivery of anything. There's like Uber Eats does not exist out here. Even if I wanted it to, even takeaway from the local like Chinese food place doesn't deliver to us. So we make all of our food a lot from scratch. And I've realized that cooking is a hobby of mine. And it's so nice to claim that. So I have been doing a lot of home cooking, lots of slow cooking, lots of broths. I'm eating meat. I don't know if I've spoken about this on the potty. God, it's good to have a catch up with you guys. I was pescatarian for 17 years through my pregnancy and everything. And it wasn't until postpartum last year where I had all of my identities collapse that was one of the identities that wanted to go. It was me identifying with eating a certain way. And I mean, no offense to anyone, P.S. I hate that I have to do disclaimers like that. I'm never going to do a disclaimer like that again. I eat meat. What a world we live in where I felt like I had to do a disclaimer. But we do, and I'll talk about that separately. Yeah, I've been eating meat for the first time in 17 years. And the world, this has opened up for me in terms of cooking. Guys, whoa. Also, the world it's opened up for me in terms of getting my protein. I am eating, I cannot even explain to you the way this has changed my life, by the way. And I know so many of you are going to be like, oh my God, Holly, finally, including my husband, Trent, who was like, Holly, I was telling you this for literally 15 years because I'd always be hungry because I wasn't nourishing myself properly because I wasn't hitting protein targets that I was meant to for my body type. My God, I've got slow cooked lamb on at the moment. So anyway, that's a roundabout way of saying my hobby right now is cooking and I love it. We're going to our friends, Cass and Jordan's. Hey guys, this weekend, and we're having a themed dinner party and Trent and I are going to make Italian. So Trent's on focaccia duty and I'm going to make a slow cooked ragu and Cass and Jordan are on the wine and Negroni duty. And like, this is what's really bringing me joy right now. So this is something fun that I've actually been doing this. Trent and I have been like this really cute little kitchen duo for a few years now, but really claiming that that's our thing has been really nice. Sounds so lame. But I was having that chat with Tranny recently. I was like, I want my little girl to grow up with really fond memories of us cooking in the kitchen, connecting over food. I want her to grow up and be like, far out, nothing beats my mum's ex, like whatever the thing is, you know? And I had that experience with my nunna coming from a Maltese background. Nothing beats my nunna's cooking. Like I wish it's such a Maltese thing. It's so frustrating. Shout out to any fellow Maltese listeners, but they don't write their recipes down because there's this secretive, weird, competitive thing that happens with all the nunnas where it's like, no, like this is my secret recipe. And they literally take them to the grave, literally. So now we've lost all my nunna's cooking. Thanks for that. And I really want my little girl to grow up around Maltese food as well. So I need to perfect my pastizzi and I need to perfect my baked macaroni and I need to perfect a few other Maltese dishes. If you are Maltese listening to this and you have some great recipes, please forward them my way. I would love that so much. It's not just my Chiron in Cancer, but I have a fourth house moon. And the fourth house governs it. Well, fourth house is the house of Cancer. And also, actually, my Jupiter's in Cancer in the first house. So I do have quite a Cancerian flavored chart. As much as Cancer is my biggest teacher, there's a lot around tradition and lineage and keeping tradition alive that really fuels me emotionally. And so this cooking aspect is definitely my way of connecting with my nunna and my Maltese heritage. Even though much of what I'm cooking isn't Maltese food, it's being in the kitchen and the connection of family and uniting of people over a meal is actually, I sound like I'm on MasterChef, right? I love it. I live for it. And I get confused by people who don't. That's just my thing. This is why I care so much about platters, guys. Doesn't make sense now. Platters are just the tip of the iceberg. So what else do I want to share with you? I think that they're the main things I'm navigating at the moment. Yeah, if you're my friend, which we all are, let's be real. Oh, do you know what? I would have a vent. Okay, let's end with a vent. If you or my friend sitting on my couch right now were having a cacao, I would have a little bit of a vent. And it would be about the unsolicited advice I am getting in my DMs. And I know I can say it on here because if you're a listener of this podcast, you're not doing it because you know that I'm not here for it. So I can have a vent with you guys. I have been receiving the most gobsmackingly inappropriate DMs in the last 2 weeks. I cannot even put into words. And I guess what I want to vent about is where did we think it was okay to approach a stranger and tell them what they're doing wrong and offer advice they didn't ask for, even if it's well-meaning and well-intended. And I'm so unavailable for it these days because I have limited time, limited energy, and limited capacity to hear something I really didn't ask for. It's been quite bizarre. It's been bizarre. I've been receiving some totally unsolicited advice about parenting in my DMs. And even though it's well-meaning, I am not available for that. I'm not asking for it. It's why it's, it just points to why I didn't share my pregnancy on social media at all, because I knew that that is what would happen in my DMs. And it's so shit because it's like, I don't want to be opening. I love hearing from my community. I love hearing from you guys. If you've messaged me, we've likely had some really nice chats, to be honest. But when someone approaches me with advice I really did not ask for about the way that I'm parenting or how to parent, and my page isn't even really about that. I mean, it is sharing my own personal experience, but my goodness, it really, I don't know how to deal with it other than to make my boundaries really clear that my DMs are not open for that. I've also received some very obscure messages, again, while well-meaning, and I speak about this in my book, actually, where it's emotional dumping. It's sharing, hey, Holly, I think you'd love to hear this. And then sharing a deeply personal experience that I have absolutely no connection to and just dumping it into my inbox and going, there you go, deal with that. And it spirals me out of my day. And it's a real, I love social media, absolutely love it. I run my business thanks to social media. I connect with all of you thanks to social media. I'm not someone who will sit here and shit on social media because I actually really enjoy it. There are times that I need to take time away from it. That's on me. That's not on social media. But what disappoints me is when I jump on and I'm like, oh, a message from someone, maybe they've read my book or maybe they have something to share about the podcast. I jump in and they're talking about a very personal experience that they're probably not even sharing with their friends. And it's jarring for me, I got to be honest. So if you guys were my friends sitting on my couch, I would have a big vent about the inappropriate nature of a lot of people online and a lot of people feeling that other people's lives are entitled to offering advice to other people's lives. And I don't have the solution, to be honest, because I have turned off my story replies on my Instagram stories, but people still find a way. It's very easy. You just click message on Instagram. But it's the dumping of really inappropriate things. And if you're sitting listening to this going, oh my God, have I done that? You haven't, because majority of you don't. You would know if what you sent me was inappropriate because you wouldn't send it. Like, trust me, when I say inappropriate, I'm talking like on the verge, might as well have sent me a dick pic. Like graphic details about bodily functions. This is what I'm talking. And I'm just nowhere am I available for that. I'm just not interested. Like absolutely. That sounds so mean, but I cannot stand behind writing a book on people pleasing and then be like, oh yeah, that's fine. Totally. Like send those DMs to me. Don't. If we are in conversation about something, absolutely. If you want to just share something with me, I'm here for it. I love having those chats in my DMs. And you'll know that because we've had it. But if it's an emotional dumping or a please take this advice from me with zero context and I haven't asked for it, please think twice. And if it's not me, if it's someone else, also please think twice. It's just a very interesting use of technology at the moment. And if I don't make my boundaries clear, then people will continue to walk on in. And so I hope I made it very clear. And I'm still a nice person, okay? This is the thing. This is why I guess what I'm doing is mirroring how we can set a very clear, strong boundary and still mirror being open and receptive and lovely, but also what we will not stand for. Because back in the day, and I guess this is a way of wrapping this up, like 2 years ago, before I wrote my book initiated me hardcore into boundaries and not putting other people's feelings before my own. And this actually comes back to me almost not sharing how I was feeling on Monday at the 18-month milestone, because at the time that I was pregnant 2 years prior, exactly 2 years prior, almost to the day, I received aggression from someone in my life because I was experiencing a challenge in my pregnancy and they had another experience that they were experiencing, basically so many experiences. But I was wronged. I was wronged for sharing what I had been moving through because it wasn't actually bad in comparison. And so I stopped sharing. I stopped sharing what I was moving through. I stopped sharing honestly because I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to upset anyone. And I had absolutely no boundaries. And I just refused to go back to that point. And I do have my little girl to thank for that because she's fierce, Sag energy. And she initiated a lot in me as I wrote the book because she was in my womb as I wrote it. And I guess what I wanted to mirror to you guys are to create the changes that we're seeking when it comes to, and I am telling you, this is coming. July this year, when we step into that Aries North Node, Libra South Node, and we're traversing it for 18 months, it is going to highlight where your boundaries are shaking, your inability to set boundaries if you're a chronic people pleaser. It's going to highlight where are you putting other people's wants, needs, and desires over your own. It's going to highlight pedestaling. It's going to highlight codependent relationships. And if you are not looking at this now, you are going to be on your ass at some point. And this isn't to scare you, because forewarned is forearmed. Like, you can do this work now. You can start to go, okay, what are the boundaries? What am I available for? What am I not available for? Where am I wronging myself for setting strong boundaries in my life? Does it make me a bad person when I say I am not available for unsolicited advice in my DMs, as an example? No, it doesn't. It makes me someone who's made it very clear what I will and won't be available for. And that is actually allowing you to have deeper relationships with people because they know how to connect with you. So these are all of the threads and pieces that are actually coming up to be reinforced in my world right now. And I did a lot of the heavy lifting when I wrote my book. If you are sitting here going, God, I do not know how to set boundaries. I have not been great at that. Even if you felt activated by hearing me speak to what I am and am not available for in my DMs, if that's activated you in some way, I invite you to explore why, because I almost guarantee there's a people pleaser thread underneath that wants to be pulled right out. And if you don't know how to do that, read my book or not. It's up to you. Do what you want. You don't have to please me. I don't mind. Guys, it's been so nice to catch up with you today. I know it's been so one-sided. I appreciate your patience with me as I took the time for myself this week. I encourage you to do the same. And that's it. That is me. That is it. Have the most beautiful Friday. Gosh, we've gone on a journey today, haven't we? We really have. But it's been so good to catch up, and I will be back should my energy allow, which I'm sure it will, and should my emotional capacity allow, which I'm sure it will, as of next Tuesday with your episode of What's the Vibe. I'll speak to you then.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.